Hello, everyone. I'm Pam Jenner, and most of you know me as the Banner Lady. This is why I put up even more banners for this Sunday. And Bill, thank you. This was my thoughts for today, because in learning how to do this for all of you, Bill kept telling me to be natural and be myself. Well, I said, what do? I'm the Banner Lady. So I thought that we'd make a quick design of a new banner. So what kinds of a inspiration would you like to see here at First Press? Anybody?
Children.
Children?
Children.
A wedding banner?
Mission.
Mission. Traveling?
Family.
Oh, family. Okay.
Visit.
Anyone the particular that comes out to anybody that anyone like to say, let's say family. How many hands? Come on. Well, I think family's getting it right there. Tree of Life is one of the family things, believe it or not. And there's also, I don't think I heard Holy Spirit. I did hear children.
Spirit-filled.
Okay, that's a Holy Spirit thing. What kinds of things do you think would go on any of that? What would you like? Family, spirits? Both should be in our banner. Now, I brought paper. I'm going to write this down. So we're designing something here. Ah, that's beautiful. They're all both, that's a great symbol right there, Pam. Thank you. Anybody else? You second. But a lot of different things have colors in it. And the color you would use for the cup is what? Gold. And gold has a color, it's a symbol of eternity, Christ. And that's why you would use that color for that. And also white. It's a pure color. Absence of color, really, but pure. And the spirit itself is by the dove, by fire. And if I don't know what I want to do, I figure out things with this book that Bill gave me years ago. And it's been marked many times in different places, the symbols of the Christian faith. So I'll take that. I'll take Holy Spirit, family. I will write this down right now. I know. Very true, Jack. Thank you. So there's several families. And, well, we can do a family one, too.
Layers on this banner.
Layers. And colors. Say that again. Layers of different families. Well, that'll have to be a different thought. Different families. All right. Well, thank you. I have an idea on what I want to do for the next banner, and in time, I'll put it up here, and you guys can see what I came up with, okay? And since we're on families, that's what the main one was, we all have families, and they can be dysfunctional in some way or another. The Bible has many stories of families that have problems and flaws, and they still come out with affection and love that God gives us all. The New Testament continues in this interest in families. Paul directs us on how to be a family. In Ephesians 5, starting with 21. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as they are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of church, the body of which he is the Savior, just as the church is a subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be, in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor without a spot or a wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ. Let's see. sorry. In the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, and this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth be meditations of our hearts and be acceptable to you. Amen. Now, many people interpret this as a man is lord over his wife. But to me, it means that we are equal. That we'll bring up the family together in Christ. The children are taught by the parents, not in anger, but in discipline, surrounded by love. This, to me, is okay. Using Christ as our foundation and building on this with all of our love you have for one another and become a family that helps each other in all the things that have come from life, come on in life. You can love someone and not always like them. And as a parent, you can get frustrated and want what you know is just right for that child. But sometimes you just need to listen. We all need to go our own way and learn the lessons that are just ours alone. Bob and I have been married 36 years, 3 months, and 9 days. Yes, I did figure it out, that 9 days. But I have to say, we are now more in love than we were in our 20s. When you first meet, you're in that globe. It's just all about you, and the two of you, really. At least that's how it felt for me. After that is where you have to figure out how and where you're going to live, the finances, and then there comes children. You tend to lose your couple or oneness, as the Bible talks about, when the children come along. The stresses and pulls of your life, they become the main focus instead of deciding to keep your focus on Christ our Lord and your spouse. Your children come with their likes and dislikes, and it will bring some kind of discord between them. This community of Christ, First Press, Newhall, is a large family. And we all have our wants that we believe that will be just right for this church. And we don't always think before we go and do these things. So the quick fix, if you have it, it might change everything without doing things first through the community, the committees. And this is why we have committees. And even if one person is not represented in that committee, you could become a problem, or it could become a problem. But we strive to work through it all. We all learn in different ways to be socially involved with one another. Bob and I, years ago, learned how to talk to each other because any little thing became a huge thing if we don't talk about it. Bob worked, years ago, Bob worked for the studios, and he would work a lot of hours. Now, I know today, for the you that know him, he works more hours than he did at that time because we own our own business. But at that time, because we had young children, I felt like I was the only parent. And I kept it to myself. I didn't tell him about it. So we were laying in bed one night, with about 6 inches between us, maybe, even less. But it felt like the Grand Canyon to me. It was one of those nights when he started to doze off, and I was too upset, so I nudged him. I want to say nudged him, none too gently, and got his attention. And no, it wasn't the right time to do this, but if I didn't do something, there was going to be a problem, a big one. And I had to make him understand what was going through my head. With the lights out, we talked. And he listened when I talked, and I listened when he talked. And it took a big weight off of both of us. We shared everything that we needed to be saying to each other. And it took down the wall that I had built, or maybe both of us had built between us. And today we still call this our Grand Canyon Syndrome. You can have a very little space between you, but feel like it's a mile or more instead. And this is the date we decided to keep our commitment to each other as a couple instead of the last or the second place, but right up there with Jesus Christ, our Lord, in first place. You have to be open to hear with your heart, and it will be heard. I believe this is one of God's promises. And the Bible talks about all kinds of families that they have all different kinds of problems. And they help or hinder you. They help or hinder each other. In the Old Testament, there are families with stories with dysfunctions all through them. Let's take Abraham, the great patriarch. He had problems that went down all through the lineage. He and Sarah, that's his wife, had problems having children. And even then, that caused a huge friction between them. But Abraham and Sarah did have a child named Isaac. And Isaac had twin sons. And they were even battling in the womb. The firstborn was Esau. And Esau means red and hairy. And the second was grasping Esau's heel in birth. And his name was Jacob. As they grew up, Esau became a hunter. And Jacob became a mama's boy. That's today's vernacular, obviously. And Esau gave up his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. For a bowl of stew, come on. And because he was famished and could not think above his stomach. Then Jacob stole Esau's blessings, with trickery and deceit by dressing himself up in furs and getting to his father Isaac's bed before Esau. Isaac was blind at that time, so he could not see who he was really giving the blessing to. Because Jacob was sure that Esau would kill him, he took his mother away with him. This family was riddled with deceit. Because I kept trying to distinguish between birthright and blessings, I'm going to teach you this little bit that I learned. The firstborn is Esau's birth. As the firstborn, Esau's birthright was that everyone bow down to his wishes and treat him as you would his father. His blessing is what makes him the heir to everything of property and value. Am I right, Bill? Because I couldn't talk to you when I said, yay. Now, Jacob has his problems to bear while he was an outcast. He thought he was working for 7 years to receive his wife, Rachel, but ends up with Leah, her sister, instead. He has to work another 7 years to get Rachel. More deceit. But with two wives, he had many children and was blessed by the Lord in property and other riches of that time. As we age, we often desire to reconcile with those whom we have been estranged, especially the ones we've loved. So in time, Jacob wants to make amends with Esau. He takes all of his servants, livestock, wives, children, and takes them to meet his brother. Esau meets them on the road with 400 men. Well, Jacob's worried that his brother would kill him still. He has his livestock and servants go first, then his children and wives, and all of them are bowing down to Esau 7 times. Esau runs to Jacob and embraces him and throws his arms around his neck and kisses him. Now, I think I would be like Jacob, wouldn't you? But my brother wouldn't forgive me. But he does. And this is with God's grace, so everything is forgiven. The bowing down to him 7 times is a sign of submission. What would you do with the hasty brother Esau, or the brother Jacob that thought about things. Which one would you want to be? I choose to be some of both. I don't always think wisely before I open my mouth. And then there are times, like I did with the Grand Canyon Syndrome, I chose a wise path. When Bill was asking all of us to think about a TV show and what does it teach us about Jesus, I thought of NCIS New Orleans. NCIS stands for Naval Criminal Investigation Services, which takes place in New Orleans. It has a solid core of people that have to start with together because it's relatively new. And it brings in new people. And you still have to accept their flaws and foibles that they get, that they come from each other. Let's see. Accept their flaws and foibles from each other, just like here at First Press Newhall. Because I consider everyone here family. We all have our flaws and foibles. The city of New Orleans plays an important part in this series with the food that they eat, the music, and the places they go to. And this episode takes place just before Thanksgiving, and there is a 40-year-old case brought back to life for the medical examiner, Loretta Wade, with the finding of a gun that is traced back to an old unsolved case. The NCIS New Orleans family is deciding on who is going where for Thanksgiving dinner. It turns out that everyone will be eating together. Plus, there is a new face, the boyfriend Orion of Pride's daughter, Laurel. And Pride is the lead investigator, likes to cook. So does Orion. So this causes some friction between Laurel and her dad. And this is our first video.
Orion. Quite a name.
His major is economics, but after he's done with school, he's talking about getting his degree in La Science de la Patisserie.
Pastry chef.
No, stop right now, before you even get started. I am bringing him home on one condition.
What's that?
You cannot befriend my boyfriend. You brought Barry to Jazz Fest. Andrew and Chris still call you for advice, and from what I understand, you sent Kenneth a check to cover his rent last month?
His still scholarship came through.
Dad, you've been on 3 dates 2 years ago.
Is he a good guy?
This can't happen. You meet them, you're nice to them, they like you, and then it gets all weird. Are they with me for me, or are they with me because of super cool Agent Wayne Pride?
Look, what do you want me to do? Give him the Clint Eastwood stare that your grandfather gave me when I started dating your mother?
Just be a dad, you know? A little aloof, a little standoffish. And if you want to pretend like you're being overprotective, that's fine too. Just no cooking together. And none of that romance stuff.
Double.
Thank you.
And then Pride meets Orion. And then this is what happens.
Tennessee. Can't believe you don't know anything about cooking. It's pretty depressing.
That is real bad. Daddy, this is Orion.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Pride.
Nice to meet you as well.
Thanks for opening your kitchen. Letting me prime the turkey.
Yeah. Whatever.
Laurel tells me you love to cook, so I knew you'd appreciate these. Cumin, fennel seed, and cinnamon.
Why cinnamon?
Daddy.
It's for the fungiform papillae.
The fungiform papillae?
Taste buds at the front of your tongue.
Uh-huh.
You get the savory right away. As long as you don't...
dry it out.
Yeah, of course not. The juices stimulate the fungiform papillae, which are then awakened to the cinnamon, and you get this...
sweet aftertaste.
Exactly, yeah. There's a whole science to that, but when I talk to food shop with Laurel, she just kind of stares at me.
Like that?
As the things heat up with the case, the NCIS family is having an ongoing contest to see who will win this year's Collier and Greens Award. The family dynamics of the team is part of the fun for me, as the antics of LaSalle and Brody, who are both junior investigators, Sebastian, which is a forensic scientist, and Patton, the computer geek. So, this is the ending here.
Eyes ready! Eyes here!
You're ready to give the green championship trophy to yours truly.
I was not the type without the dishes. It's a secret of thankfulness. Okay, y'all, listen, everyone. Let me just say, you know, it has been an interesting last few days. A 40-year-old murder reminds me how much the world has changed. With work still to be done. But tonight, we're here to break bread together and remember that love done right can change the world.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Cheers. Brian?
Yes, sir.
Would you care to do the honors? Big man on campus.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got this.
Oh, my word. I remember what you did to the bird last year.
Oh, oh my God.
Somebody pass me the greens.
Oh,
this might not be how you would spend your Thanksgiving, but all of you have different family dynamics that make it uniquely your family. I hope my legacy to all the people around me know how much I love him like Christ does. And I am the light for him. We all need to share our light and help people we encounter to bring out their light. One of the ways I express this is with my art, by making banners. For me, taking things out of my head and putting them onto fabric comes with ease and with a lot of practice. And since I've been doing it for many, many years, getting out of my comfort zone and standing up in front of you today has been the most out of my comfort zone for a long time. I have this thought, though. If I come up with an idea when somebody asks me to do an art show, or when Bill asks us to do something about a TV show that makes you think about Jesus, and I come up with it right away, I know that God wants me to do something with it. So here I am today telling you a small part of my story. So listen with your heart, and you might see more wonders than you thought you ever could. So when the Apostle Paul is speaking to these new Christians, as I read to you in Ephesians, he too reminds them reminds them how they interact with one another and needs to be grounded in love and honest communication, especially in our most intimate relationships, our family. Notice that husbands are addressed by Paul. Wives submit, as well as we all are to submit to one another in love. But notice, it is a reciprocal relationship. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and give him his life for her. Both then sacrifice the needs for one another. As you leave here today, I invite you to be the light of Christ, to love one another and to the others in your community. Thank you and God bless.